Hello, I just want to take this opportunity to share with you the message that I had planned for today's worship service. For those of you who are at worship today, it was a wonderful celebration of three baptisms. And we also had a guest speaker, Julie Crousey from Australian Lutheran World Service, and she shared with us about the village partnership that we're entering into with the community in Burundi. And it's a farming partnership, which is quite exciting. So as the service went on, it started to get a little bit long, and I could see that people were getting a little bit restless, especially the children, because we had a lot of children today in worship, and what a blessing that was. And we give thanks to God for our worship this morning that we had, and the opportunity we had to celebrate Palm Sunday as well, where we remember Jesus entering into Jerusalem. And that was the Bible reading that we had this morning. We started off the service hearing that gospel lesson where Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people lay their palm branches down and they're shouting out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And so my message was, well, what happens after Jesus enters into Jerusalem? What happens after? And so on our Palm Sunday, the reading stops at verse 11. So this is in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 21. And so from verse 12, so once Jesus has entered into Jerusalem, it says, "Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise." And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. So Jesus has fully disrupted the religious culture, the religious heavies. He's upset them, and they're the ones that hold together temple life, the whole temple culture together. And so he breaks down these massive walls that were controlled by these religious heavies. They were the tradition keepers, the gatekeepers as such. And so in this reading that I just read out, when Jesus is in the temple, firstly, he drives out the commercial trading from the temple courts, the people selling doves, the people who were ripping off other people who were buying their sacrifices for the temple. So he gets rid of the commercialism. And secondly, what happens is the blind and the lame come into the temple. And then thirdly, children were present and shouting in the temple courts. What do you see going on here? How are we being challenged as a community? Jesus enters Holy Week and drives out the commercialism, the trust in finances, the trust in buildings, the trust in human desire to control. But what happens as a result? What does Jesus actually do by driving out the moneylenders? He creates space. Jesus creates space for the blind and the lame. This is Matthew's way of telling us that the broken and the rejected people of society, those who were told to stay outside of the temple courts, outside of the walls in this certain areas, to beg outside there, that's where they were to stay. They were the rejected people of society. By creating space, they're allowed to come into the temple. They want to see Jesus, and they accept the invitation to enter in to God's house. Then Jesus also creates space for the children. They're filled with joy and praise God, shouting out, Hosanna. Children weren't allowed to do this. How dare children get excited in the temple courts? Even worse for the heavies, they're proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. At this moment, Jesus is announcing, this is what the temple is for. This is why it exists. Now, this riles up the religious heavies. They're absolutely livid at Jesus. He has turned religious life on its head at this moment, breaking the protocols and the rules, breaking the traditions, challenging the fundamental idea of why the temple exists. Today, as we begin our Holy Week journey, Jesus challenges us too. He challenges you to look at your life and ask, where do I need to create space? Where can you make space in your life and in your schedule to receive God's grace and healing? Jesus questions every church today and its vision and priorities. He's asking us, is what you are focused on about God's kingdom and about his mission? He's questioning us, is the temple space or the mission space filled with stuff that distracts, like our finances, our consumerist goals, our buildings? Are these things the mission? Are they our mission? Or do they serve and support the mission? Are they the resources God has given us to make disciples, to share his good news, to reach out to the broken and rejected, the vulnerable? Is that our mission? I hope it is. You know, I've been on many different church boards and I've been a leader in many different churches, and I can say we're always pulled to these types of things because we like the things we can control. Talking about administration, budgets, finances, it's in a safe zone as such. We think we can control it. Maybe it's because we're not talking about spiritual things which convict us and make us feel uncomfortable. We're convinced that these things are what we need to be successful in our mission. You know, as a pastor, I see many people convinced that the pursuit of wealth, finding purpose, building a good reputation are the best space fillers and will bring true meaning. Yet I've seen many who realize how it consumes you. You only have so much time and energy, so much space in your life, and other things will get pushed out, including faith, maybe even family, your health, friendships. So what is Jesus challenging you with? What's he challenging our church with? Peter writes in chapter 1 of his letter, he says, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God, as the scriptures say. People are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. So where do you need to create space in your life for what is truly important and life-giving? For God. My friends, may the peace of God, which passes understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.